All right. Thank you, Neil. Hello, everyone. As Joe outlined earlier, I am one of the data users. As I make risk management decisions for a consumer product company, a pet food company, and you know, it's important what MAST does and what USDA does for us in many levels in you know, creating a fair and competitive marketplace. And then en route to demonstrating that, I want to first make an analogy here. I want to start out with the question. The question is, who is Don Dinkinger? If you don't know who Don Dinkinger is, I wouldn't be surprised unless you're a very, very avid baseball fan, and even more so an avid St. Louis Cardinal fan. There'd be no reason for you to know who he is. He is not a baseball player, but an umpire, and an umpire who made a bad call in the 1985 World Series, which to this day, St. Louis Cardinal fans still view as him costing the St. Louis Cardinals the 1985 World Series. Why do I ask who Don Dinkinger is? Is because in many ways I see the USDA is really being the umpire for the game of commodity trading and price discovery that takes place at the CME and elsewhere. So, you know, my intent here isn't to knock the USDA. As a matter of fact, let me follow it up with one other question here, and that being, who were the other umpires that umpired the 1985 World Series? Of course, nobody ever remembers them because, you know, like USDA reports, the ones that come in as expected, the ones that are non-controversial are easily forgotten, and the market moves on. Those that are questionable or controversial are discussed and linger on for a long period of time. Now, at this point, I want to just take a step back to Economics 101. I imagine many of us on the call here have had intro economics, but very early on in each introductory economics class, the issue or the concept of a perfectly competitive market is discussed. Perfectly competitive market is one which the resources are allocated efficiently. You know, prices are kept mostly near fair value. Shortages and excesses are rare and corrected fairly quickly. And there's few to no market distortions or market manipulations. You know, all of those are very, very good things. We in our capitalist marketplace value a great deal. Now turn to the right side of the slide here is, what are the conditions required for a perfectly competitive market to exist? Is one, you need many buyers and sellers. You need a homogeneous product. You need low barriers to entry, and you need very low transaction costs. And at least in the world I deal in, that all sounds very, very much like the U.S. grain markets. But there is one other thing is they need, for the perfectly competitive market to exist, need equal information for all parties. And this is what USDA, in my opinion, does and does very well. They provide the same timely, accurate, unbiased data to all market participants, whether you're the largest multinational agribusiness or whether you're the smallest farmer. Not only in this country, but in the world. And there's a lot of countries that are really critical to agriculture that don't do this well, and some that don't even really attempt to do this. And on the next slide, I'm going to turn to a case in point on that, is the case of Indonesian palm oil. Palm oil, not soybean oil, palm oil is the largest produced and consumed vegetable oil in the world. It accounts for nearly 25% of the world veg oil consumption and more than 60% of Indonesia is the single largest producer of palm oil, accounting for 50% of world production. Indonesia provides the world veg oil markets with virtually no objective data on production, stocks, or consumption. What this does is leaves the market ripe for all sorts of manipulations by those with the best independent information. There are organizations in Indonesia that are doing very similar activities to what USDA, USDA NAST is doing. They aren't governmental organizations. They aren't benevolent organizations. They're using that information for their own use. And that is a competitive edge for them. By what the USDA does, it is a great leveler of the playing field, in my opinion, all market participants, not only very, very large companies, but it also advantages small producers probably more so. Okay, now for the next slide, I'm going to get into really what I am using this information for. And what I'm using the information for is essentially all the information that NAST provides is a means to an end for me. And the end being I'm looking for to get to what a stocks to use ratio is at the end of a given crop year. This table here is a balance sheet for U.S. corn, predicting a stocks-to-use ratio for this crop year of roughly 6.3%, next year of 13.5%, and the stocks-to-use ratio just being ending stocks divided by total consumption. If I have that information, along with some other pieces of information about various other commodities and macroeconomic information, I can do a reasonably good job of plotting these sorts of charts, which is just the stocks to use ratio on the x-axis, expected prices on the y-axis. So from with the information USDA provides, we're making estimates as to where we're going to fall on these curves, which will do a great deal of benefit to us in deciding how we're going to, at Nestle Purina, approach the idea of price risk management and how we go about buying commodities and approach the marketplace and buying grain and soybean products. Now, from these slides, from this slide on, I'm going to just take a few of the USDA NAST reports and give how I perceive them and their importance and how what I believe the market accepts these reports. For instance, this first one is the planning intentions and final planning. The planning intentions was released, I believe, on March 30th. The final planning number was essentially released this morning. And what I have on the, again, I have a balance sheet for the U.S. corn market on the right here. Those items that are lines that are highlighted in red are the ones that are impacted by these, by this report. So, for instance, planted area impacts area, which further impacts production, which contributes to supply, which then contributes to ending stocks. So each one of these next slides will have that same sort of theme in red, what's impacted by the report. So planning intentions is a work in progress. It's treated as a solid indication, but can be influenced by weather and economics. As we've seen this morning, corn planted area did not really change very much from the March number, but the soybean planted area certainly did. The final planning, as again was said, was released this morning, is a very important figure, considered as a very, very firm figure by the marketplace. More or less, that's one of the two variables that will determine supply going forward, the other one being yield. The next set of reports are the monthly yield and production estimates. These are very important estimates. They obviously become more and more important the further you get into the crop year. I would, in my opinion, the most important estimate that USDA NASS releases each crop year for corn anyway, and probably soybeans, is the October number. At that point, the accuracy of their yield and production estimates is getting very, very meaningful. So at that point, we're really getting down to being able to determine what you have on the supply side of the market. The next set of reports are the weekly crop condition reports. We use these really as a proxy for what yield is going to be in the monthly report. Since you're only getting yield estimates from NASS on a monthly basis, this is kind of trying to fill in what's happening in the meantime. They're not particularly meaningful until you get near pollination, this point and for the next, say, month or so. At that point, they're followed very, very closely. What we do, and I think many others do in the marketplace, is something very similar to what's in the table to the lower left. You're taking the good, excellent, fair, poor, and very poor ratings and assigning a score to each one of them to come up with a total crop year score. And from there, you can plot them, and they generally fall fairly close to some sort of relationship in crop year score to final yield versus trend. Unfortunately, the last couple of years have kind of fallen out as low outliers, along with a couple of years in the 1990, 93, and 95. The next report was also released this morning as a quarterly stocks report. In my opinion, this is the most important figure that NASS puts out each quarter. One, because it is a solid inventory of what is in storage in the U.S. At each quarter. The other reason is it's the only look, albeit an indirect look, into the feed sector. In total feed demand, which amounts to about 38 to 36% of total demand each year. These reports have been a big, big source of volatility over the last 2 years. Seven of the last 8 quarterly stocks reports have resulted in limit moves in the CME corn market. Today, report, and it didn't volatility. Matter of fact, it was very, very day on the CME board. These provide an awful lot of volatility because, one, they are such an important report, and they are only done once every 3 months. So now I'm just going to go down to conclude my comments here. In review, the USDA is what I'll call the unbiased global umpire of grains and oilseed markets. There's a little praise, but oftentimes much criticism that comes with being the umpire. The expectation is that they get the call or the report right each and every time, which, as Joe pointed out, obviously requires a good deal of resources. They provide a critical function in facilitating a competitive and efficient marketplace, not just in the U.S., but for global grain and oilseed markets. Many important producing countries do not perform this function as well as the USDA, and many of them don't even attempt to do this. USDA reports help prevent market manipulation, and reduce volatility by providing timely, unbiased, accurate market information to all parties. And that will conclude my comments, and thank you very much for your time.